Jack, this is hard for me.
The Chinese have proof that you led the assault on their consulate.
And now the Chinese want me.
That's right.
Listen to me very carefully.
The man they sent to take you into custody has orders to kill you.
Orders from who?
Someone in Logan's camp.
Dale Spaulding, Secret Service.
I have orders to take Jack Bauer into custody. I intend to execute those orders.
Jack. He's dead.
Sorry.
Jack. Give me the epinephrine.
I hope it's not too late. He really looks dead.
Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack, damn it! Hey, Chloe, I need you to run interference with the local coroner. Make sure their database syncs up with Jack's information.
That won't cover the autopsy.
There's not going to be an autopsy. They wanted Jack dead, now he's dead.
Mr. President, you saved my life.
I'm only sorry it came to this.
I just want to let you know that I was out.
I'm glad.
Jack, you do understand when you hang up.
For all intents and purposes, Jack Bauer's dead.
I understand that, sir. Mr. President, it's been an honor.
The following takes place between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.
My name is Kiefer Sutherland, and I play Jack Bauer, and sitting next to me is my director,
John Kassar, and I directed this particular episode.
Jim Nichols, you're on pump number one. Sterling Rush, Patrick Priest, you're on pump number four. Phil Stone, Greg Nelson, you're on pump five.
It's interesting, the names they were calling out too were all names of the crew. Sterling Rush and our prop guy.
Hey, Frank. Look, I know I promised you work today, but pump seven went offline last night.
It's all right. I'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow will be much better.
See you tomorrow.
That's great. We want it to be early morning. In actual fact, we were shooting it
four
at the
or
end
five
of the day.
In the afternoon. Right. Yeah.
And just wanted that contrast between being out there in the desert and then Mr. Palmer.
Super Rob is expected to arrive later this morning.
Were you here this day? I'm trying to remember. You were, weren't you, when we
yeah.
did this? This was officially Dennis's last day when we shot this. All the things that we did.
You gave me that picture from the book.
Oh, that's right.
And it's me hugging him. It was the last time that we got to work together.
Love that painting in the back. Check out that painting in the back with the umbrella.
It's like the Kennedy
foreshadowing.
Thing.
There's something happening yeah. there. This is an interesting apartment too, because we they were selling it for about $5 million on Wilshire for an apartment.
And it was awful.
It was totally empty. That's our set dresser, Claudia, did a wonderful job putting it together. But it's just this massive space for so much money. But we needed some place that you know these guys would be hanging out in.
Maybe it's put me in a melancholy mood.
This was tough. It was tough getting rid of Dennis. And I think what was interesting this year is that he sort of was a catalyst for everything that happens right to
yeah,
the last episode.
Well, certainly you and I talked about that from my character. I love that he's not giving any of that away.
Yes.
In the performance.
Yeah. That's the key to this kind of thing. And I think too much television does that.
Serious strength as an actor.
One more chapter and we'll take a break. Why don't we jump down to chapter 6? There's going to be a lot of questions.
But it's interesting because, I mean, when we are in the first episode, although they know...
That scared the life out of me.
I love that this is the first time you're watching it. Because it's one thing in the first episode to really have these ideas where you want a season to go, but sometimes it does stray. And I think this year was one of those years where we virtually nailed it right down to the final episode. If you watch the first episode and the final one together, there's a perfect bookend, I think, to a good year.
Well, and there's no time to breathe from when he just got shot.
Yeah.
Your silver office over 6 feet. Russian president can't be looking down at the president.
And I always like the juxtaposition of, you know, Dennis and Greg. And we do that in the finale, too. There's a great juxtaposition of the two of them.
And Churchill, they both sat for FDR at Yalta.
This is also a new set that Joseph Hodges built for us, which is just beautiful. We called it Playboy After Dark.
this set.
Yeah. Didn't it remind you of that? Remember Playboy After Dark? The guys with the jazz musicians and the Playboy bunnies, and they all just kind of hung around and in a set that looked just like that.
I feel better if you would check on her yourself.
And there's John L. Nelson, who did some great work for us as Cummings.
No, he's a great actor. It was great to watch a young actor get a shot like that.
And actually, amongst these two guys, I mean, it was just school for him every day.
And rose to it, though.
Yeah, and totally rose to it. And that's the problem sometimes. It's wonderful to be put in a position where you can act with guys like Jude and Greg. But if you don't, you know, if you don't go toe-to-toe with them, sometimes they'll just run right over you. And he just stood right in there and learned every day. I think he would have paid us to be on there.
Don't tell anybody, no. But I would.
But actually,
too.
It's really great for John because he's now in a new Fox show, so it's pretty exciting for him that this got him another show. So this would be really interesting for you, seeing all this for the first time after just reading it. I mean, it's one thing for the scenes you were involved in, but for these...
No, I'm watching what Greg's doing, too, just setting up. And he sets up so beautifully this open end, because we don't know where the show's going to end.
That's right.
But his reaction to Palmer's death was fantastic.
Yeah. That's right, because at that point, you really believe that he knows nothing about it.
And I'm watching it from the perspective of the end, where he's lying.
Right.
But he set that up beautifully.
Put the president through.
And then we're back at CTU, which really is our sort of nucleus of the show. And everything
quicksand.
Spokes into it. And our favorite room.
Our quicksand.
For some reason, as beautiful as that room is that Joseph designed, not this room, but the situation room in CTU, somehow whoever goes in there, whatever actor goes
the
in
soul
there,
out of your life.
It just sucks the soul and the memory of dialogue. Of course, no one would ever know when they see the final cut, but it is tough in there.
Give me results. Whoever did this, I want them dead or in custody by the time the Russians get here.
Yes, Mr. President. But until we know more...
And this was interesting, too, because, you know, you're still not on screen for a while. We saw you right at the very beginning, and that was the idea, that you really get pulled into it, that we just want to show a little bit of your life. And I think you came up with a good note here. If I remember right, it was supposed to be coming off a night shift. And one of your the resistance to that was, how long can this guy be up?
How long can he stay awake?
Which no one really thought about, but
but
you. Obviously, if it come off a night shift.
Because I get people coming up on the street going, when are you going to go to the bathroom?
Right. When are you going to sleep?
They get mad about that.
And then we got to see a little Mary Lynn skin here.
Get out of my bed.
Last night too. See, I always love doing the first show, directing the first show, because it is really different than, you know, when we sort of get into the
groove.
CTU, you get to see people in their homes and things are just starting up, like a day does. You know, what happens in the first part of a day.
Does Chloe have a tattoo?
She does. And do you see what I did with those things? Make sure we could see it.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it was actually an accident that the dressing gown sort of went over her shoulder, but then when I saw the tattoo, I said, oh, I think we should do that again, Mary Lynn.
Chloe is a constant mystery.
She is. Constant mystery. And this is kind of fun for me, too, as a director on this show, because, you know, we don't have a lot of this relationship stuff. It really is different when we're doing it. The crew always looks around like, what the hell? This is so different for us.
Right.
You know, throw a helicopter and something exploding around them. They're very comfortable. But we start to do this.
They're too close.
That's right. It's all so different for us. But it does prove we can pull that off, too. So it is kind of fun.
Well, what she's managed to do with this character is just extraordinary.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It wasn't written. She developed kind of this character within the context of scenes that were not developed for what she's turned this character into.
Well, I always tell the story about the first
all
day
of that awkwardness.
That
all
she
of that.
Was there was the time where you had to give her hell. She was very surprised.
Yes.
And came in way more prepared the next day. This is a scene I think we added. Did we add this? It was like a late minute ad so we could get to see your reaction. Because it never really played out in the original script.
This is when I think you and I and Howard and Joel and we all agreed that even though we didn't know what the end of the show was going to be, that everything was going to be motivated by the death of Palmer and that we needed something to kind of connect to that. And
that's
that
right.
was watching him on the news.
Well, I think we made that the nucleus of your motivation, didn't you? Right, really through the whole year.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Come on, I'm making breakfast.
I love seeing the gun behind your back. I think that's just so great. And it's that tension that's always interesting. That's a fun thing that we always sort of bring to the table, is those little beats.
Great.
Derek, stop it.
And here's for all the fans that say you never eat.
Yes. He had a full breakfast.
Yeah. And you know what they say, a full breakfast will keep you going all
for
day.
For 24 hours.
That was another great touch, I think, that came from you. You obviously have done that to your children at points.
Try to give them a glass. Yeah. It would have continued on, though. I wouldn't have let them do
that. You got away too easy.
Yeah. The albatross.
Does that connection come in from you, even when you play with, you know, with Alicia Cuthbert playing Kim? Does your...
Absolutely.
Real life fatherhood come into play?
From the first year it did, yeah. I remember in the second year, obviously Alicia started to get older, and I remember at one point she was talking, telling a story, and all the Teamsters were around her, and I made them walk away.
You're protecting even your fake daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know even just as a director, being a parent and, you know, having children that are in their 20s now, you do remember all the stages.
And it has to shape these sequences that you make.
Absolutely. And again, that was an ad, that little standoff.
And he was funny because, I mean, he's so smart.
Yeah, he was.
But it's also tempered by how young he is. And so every once in a while you'll hear him say something and you'll just go, you're too young to know that. And you don't have a perspective to balance that. But it's...
But he was very strong with those perspectives.
Yeah. Oh,
and you'd think, you know, you're too young to have to be that...
Committed.
Dug in and committed.
Yeah.
I think Connie did a good job for us, too.
Yeah.
It's a tough part. I think she had a real challenge.
Palmer was killed just a short while ago. Now, no information has been released to the public at this time. But
Tony and Michelle.
There's an actor that I miss.
Our friend Carlos. And our friend Reiko. It's tough. This was the hardest thing, I think, for us.
And yet, in the script, the thing that you went, oh my God, we're going to start the season off.
That's right.
Literally with a bang. And
I think after the Palmer killing, there's just no one in their right mind would imagine that we were going to do them in. And I think we always take advantage of that misdirection.
We worked up suspect profiles. We ran scenarios.
And they have our records on file.
They don't have our experience. I never once regretted our decision to leave CTU.
They really became a couple over the years. It's amazing. There was a real comfort level to the two of them together. Probably the biggest hit we've ever got from our audience, I think, was killing...
These two.
Yeah, killing Carlos and Reiko. I mean, you know, people are upset about anyone we kill, but these two were really loved by the audience. Because I think we also got to watch their whole relationship blossom over the years.
Well, it's funny, whatever the audience... took as a hit. Certainly I did as an actor as well. These were two people that I love as friends and deeply rely on as an actor in the show, and to lose them was
there's definitely a comfort level
hard.
For you. There must be a comfort
level. But I've never seen this. Oh, sorry. And I know it's coming, but...
You look nervous. You're wringing your hands. And that's what I tell fans of the show. I said, look, we miss the actual people. You know, I know you miss the characters, but we actually miss Carlos and Reiko as friends, not being on set every day.
I remember you fought really hard to not show the car blow up, but to have it actually be through the window.
And I think it worked.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Amazing stunt. Guy was on fire. This is great. A little grab. There you are eating for all those fans.
Jepson, brief you on what's happening.
There was a car bombing. Two former CTU agents were hit.
Yeah, the names were Michelle Dessler and Tony Almeida.
Our friend Louis.
You knew them?
I think Louis did the same thing that Mary Lynn did, too. He kind of came in and, you know, made the part his own. And you know, it's I got to give it to the writers to really let us as directors and actors really find those people and make them our own.
Yeah. Well, if there was ever a group, an audience that reacted to someone going, Edgar was that.
Yeah,
and
he really was.
And he played that so beautifully.
Because he was such an innocent, too. I think that's what really did it.
What are you talking about?
Someone planted a bomb in Michelle Dessler's car.
What?
That was fun. I love that moment. Just as he says it, she's about to...
Well, and it's just, you know, watching it, just realizing what an important part the music plays through everything.
Unbelievable.
It's just, and it's not overhit. It's just such a nice, delicate balance.
And that's Sean Callery, of course. He's been with us from the beginning. And I mean, even when we see rough cuts, we put temporary music and we love the show, but then he comes into the game and it becomes a complete different show. Yeah, I have to tell this story. It's so funny because this young gentleman here actually, right in that shot, tripped and ripped out his Achilles tendon.
Oh, I remember that. And that's why we had to go with a different actor.
Anybody running like this here is actually our camera loader. And so he saved the day. I mean, we probably would have been shut down, but that's our camera loader running, who had the same kind of bald haircut, and he saved our day. And then, you know, I orchestrated a little stop here on the escalator so I could then put the actor in, who could do nothing but stand. He couldn't
stand,
even take
right.
a step. And he could just move that much, and then now the...
No, I remember we shot with him at the... Yeah.
And that's right.
At the oil field.
We did. We had to shoot with a double at the oil field, too.
Yeah.
You know, again, I stopped him. Poor guy hobbled in major pain. I mean, he hadn't even gone to the doctor yet. So, but those are the kind of things that sort of happen when you're making movies and television, and you just kind of roll with them. That's all you can do.
I fractured my kneecap in season 2 in
the
morning and went to the doctor later that night thinking that I had just sprained it.
And you were working on a fractured knee.
Lucky
I also
for
remember
us,
stitches
it was right
in the
before
eye,
Christmas.
Too.
Yeah.
I remember you playing through some pain a few times, Kiefer, in the many episodes we've done together.
What is it?
They got Tony and Michelle. Michelle is dead. Tony's in critical condition. Now they're going to kill me.
What are you talking about?
There's 4 people that know you're alive. 3 of them are down. Jack, I'm the only one left. This has to be about you.
And then this is what I like, too, is that you really thought that Mary Lynn was going to die too, because you just saw everyone else go down.
I forgot that line of hers where she says, "This has to be about you." And that really sets up.
Yeah, that sets it all.
It's very funny that one line can set up a whole season.
Chloe, you need to go dark. That means zero contact with anyone.
Even CTU?
Especially.
I actually really like the way, I mean, every year we seem to sort of have you out and we drag you back in. But I really think this was strong this year. I think pulling you in the way we did, especially from where you were. Being sort of hidden from the world.
Very ill in Topanga. I want you to wait for me there. You can take cover by the large storage tanks at the north end of the field.
You're coming to L.A.?
Give me about a half an hour.
Okay, thanks.
And there's that theme that Sean puts in. But it really does work when it does hit.
Almeida is being medevaced in.
I have a trauma team standing by to receive him in medical.
They're bringing him to CTU?
If there's a second attempt on his life, we can't protect him in a hospital.
Man, this isn't track. Michelle and Tony have been inactive for over a year. Who'd want them dead?
Whoever wanted Palmer dead.
You ever talk about the difference between sort of being in CTU? Because you get to really, these folks, most of them never really get out of CTU, which is hard. But you get to sort of do a bit of both. You get to be in CTU and
Marcy.
There's Marcy, our girl Marcy. Do you enjoy that, the fact that you get to go back and forth, and or would you rather be out all the time? Or
I'd rather be out all the time.
I know you'd rather not be in CTU all the time.
All of the actors look at the Situation Room in CTU as the soulless pit. and we all, I remember Reiko once in season four when she had to go out and get the recording and she was shooting on location and she looked at me and went, now I realize why you're so much happier than the rest of us because you get to shoot outside.
What about an actor, even just not on this show, but just throughout your career, do you get into a different place when you're somewhere real, when you're downtown, when you're in a real location, or is it...
No, because at some point we kind of block it off. I mean, the most dangerous part about going into a real place is you kind of take it over like a set.
Right, you make it a set anyways.
You can actually run into trouble that way, so you have to be careful of that and remember that it's someone's home or it's someone's restaurant.
That's right.
Because once we occupy a space, and I've seen it with our crew, we occupy it solely for its purpose for our show or a film. Mm-hmm.
Our nation grieves for its loss. Martha and I offer our deepest sympathy.
And again, I love that this really bookended what happened at the end with a speech at the airport.
When you guys are working on the last four episodes, do you pull up the first couple episodes and look at them and try and bookend it?
Before. I didn't do it this year, but I'm very aware of it. I don't necessarily see it, but everything that I read, I always try to pull right back to the, you know, and I think the writers do it too. We try to pull it right back to the first episode. I don't think we've ever been as successful as we have this year. Mm. I think to me, everything really, but even just in my blocking, knowing that, you know, he had this big speech at the beginning about Palmer, you know, knowing that I can put another one at the end to mirror it was kind of interesting.
Well, you didn't tell her about David Palmer?
No.
Thank you. She'll take it hard when she finds out. They've been friends for a long time.
You don't have to talk about me like I'm not here.
Excuse us, Evelyn.
It's always fun for me doing the first episode too. I mean, I could probably get some little more time off if I didn't, but doing the first one is really when you start to set all these people up. Mm-hmm. And we take a little more time, and you know, because you're setting up a character that's going to run 24 episodes, especially with someone like Gene and John. I think these first shows are pivotal into who these people are going to be. You know, it's one thing to come back as an actor and a character and we know who they are, but to start sending out the new people is very important for us.
Well, when I through the whole year, when you kind of see what Gene and Greg did, and when you and I had our first discussions about the first episode, and my fear of the way I read those storylines.
I remember.
And it was a huge lesson for me to have faith in actors and let them find their way, because I certainly could never see what Gene ultimately ended up doing with this character, and it's extraordinary.
I think we had an idea, but I agree with you. I don't think anyone could have projected, you know, what she ended up doing. And then Greg, too, Greg, we had a little bit of an insight because he was in the last few episodes of last year. And in fact, that's why they wrote the part like they did. But I think he even stepped to a new place, especially when the character turns.
And you have to have faith in the fact that people will fill the space. And
that's right.
Faith sometimes is not the easiest thing to come by.
It must be harder for you because you're not in total control of these scenes. I mean, I am to a point. So at least from my end, when I read it and go, ouch, that hurts, I know I can get it to at least the believability that's going to work for the show. Because, in fact, I kind of feel that way sometimes when I'm not directing an episode. Mm-hmm. I'll read a scene and go, oof, this could really not go right if we're not careful.
One of this country's greatest leaders, but one of this world's greatest men.
Let go of me.
President Palmer's entire family.
And Sean came out with this little squeaky, sort of screaming sound. that he puts in every time Martha starts to lose it. Yeah, that. And at first I thought it was so odd, but then I was like, every episode I was like, where is it? Where's that scream?
I swear, I will have your family eating dog food out of a can.
Martha, stop.
Mike, damn it, I am the First Lady. Tell your stormtrooper to stay away from me.
And this is always tough too, just finding the right location, because, you know, you're looking at a location like this. I knew it worked really well for this show, but Joseph and I really walked the whole property and think, gee, if we're going to land a helicopter, could we do it here?
Right.
Because again, you're sort of picking one location for two episodes, and then we were in this location right till episode 24, the whole helicopter sequence. So we have to look at it again. It's a little harder for us to find the first locations, projecting all the things that possibly could happen. But this one worked out perfectly for us.
Tell Charles I want to see him when he's done.
Right. Yeah, she's quite amazing.
Yeah.
It's got changed a little bit. At one point, you actually stopped and talked to a guy here, but that got cut out. Just kind of blew right by him. That's why you see this truck coming in the background
that
suddenly disappears. And that's right, we had to do a little reshoot on. It was all about, you know, when we do the reshoots we do, it's all about just trying to move. Most of the time, it's just moving it quicker.
Shoot me.
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm sorry I followed you.
This was one of the hardest things for us to make work, bringing this kid along.
Yeah, because the real danger was that we had treaded this line with my daughter in seasons one and two. But I also find that if you play a scene with an actor who's going to commit as hard as he did to this, and at some point you just got to stop worrying about it and play it as hard as you can and see what you got.
Right. Which is eventually, I think, you know, the road we went down. But it was uncomfortable because it's hard not to think about Kim and putting a, you know, kid in jeopardy.
Sterile cranial field. I need access to the right hemisphere.
Right away.
I need to talk to Tony before he goes on the surgery.
The beginning of Carlos's long sleep.
That's right. That was a tough job for Carlos, wasn't it? I think he was asleep. Well, I know he wasn't asleep in the one show where he had the big fight.
He had more stuff for the gag reel than anybody.
That's right. It was interesting, too, because we covered his face in a way that we still had no idea what we were going to do yet, whether we were going to burn him or scar him. So we just wanted to cover it in a way that we had options later.
Mm-hmm.
Transcripts.
And this is CTU starts to catch on here.
What's he hiding?
Something about Jack's death.
Are you kidnapping me?
No!
And where are you taking me?
Los Angeles.
I think this is one of the added scenes. I think we did this later.
Police, I couldn't let that happen.
But what is this about?
And again, it was just about justifying bringing the kid, because we all were still kind of uncomfortable with it.
Like some kind of witness relocation thing?
Yeah, something like that.
So you were a criminal?
No. Listen, Derek, the less you know about me, the better.
I love your impatience with this kid asking these questions. It's very real.
Well, and all of those choices were born out of the frustration of what you and I were frustrated with about our fear of the storyline.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, you said, well, if you want to get rid of him, play it.
Yeah, which
okay.
worked.
Yeah,
which worked. But then what was great, I think, is what you added sort of in episode four, once the whole hostage crisis was over at the airport, you really connected back to him.
Right.
You know, and then you realized, really, I was doing what I had to do just because I had to move forward. And there was an apology there that I thought was great.
I don't understand. You're just gonna hand me back to my mom? If
thought you were worried about me going to...
Must be one of the hardest things, I think, for you to do, Kiefer, is we give you, you know, such a thorough line of what you need to do that adding anything around that becomes so hard to play because your focus must be, you know, to get to point B and your objective.
Well, and more so in this year, as I'm watching this, I'm watching Gene and Greg. I mean, my character has been defined over 5 years. This is what I think is interesting. Yeah. I mean, as I'm watching the show, I am so deeply interested in what they're doing.
And again, it's, you know, show one. So unlike other, you know, series television where you come back with 10, 15 characters that you know and establish, you know, we're really starting with two or three, including yourself. And then we're, you know, putting so much weight on new characters that it really is important that we nail these first episodes. But, you know, my job was made fairly simple with the fact that I had these two actors working for me.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
He called me yesterday. He said he wanted to meet with me.
Meet with you about what?
He said that it concerned national security and that it involved you.
Me?
Yes.
What else did he say?
Just that he would explain when he saw me.
If this was so important, why wouldn't he have called me himself?
It is interesting as a director, too, because you come in and, you know, again, when working with someone for a long time, we've done so much together now that I sort of have an idea where you're going to be most of the time, but this was new for me.
Yeah.
And just sometimes seeing some of the choices they make and you're going, you know, it is not anywhere near where I would have gone, but boy, that's good.
And what's new for us, we have to really, as I'm watching this, we have to really remember it's going to be new and refreshing and exciting for an audience
that's
as well.
That's right. And that's why I insist on doing that first one every year, just because it is a challenge. It's more of a challenge than, I mean, the whole year is a challenge for us.
Yeah, but it's...
But that first one's really crucial. Because I know if I can pull off that first one, if we can get those first two in a position where new characters are as good as our characters that are established, I know that we'll have at least a great springboard for the rest of the year.
I'm sorry.
And this is just a wonderfully written moment when he comes out.
Was she all right? No, Walt, she's not all right. She's having another one of her delusions. She thinks that David Palmer was killed because of something he was about to tell her. She's imagining she's in the middle of one of her own conspiracy theories. What should we do? Nothing.
Spencer, have you talked to Chloe this morning?
No. Why?
She left her apartment about a half hour ago. She should have been here by now.
Probably trapped.
Yeah, and Jonah did a great job with this character, too, Spencer. Very young actor, very new in the game, but very strong. And that's a problem for us sometimes, too, when we do have young actors on the show. There's just so much talent around them that they really got to step up right away.
Yeah.
What makes you so sure?
It doesn't matter.
It does to me.
I saw her, okay, about half an hour ago.
I thought you said...
Forget what I said.
And I think sometimes it's a little uncomfortable on our show, too, because of the way we shoot, because we really do every scene from the very beginning to the very end. And people that are sort of used to more conventional
breaking
television and doing one line at a time sometimes get very surprised that, wow, we're doing those three pages all in one piece. But I know that's the way you like it, too. I mean, there's a flow.
I like to shoot the whole thing as a play if I had my... choice. Right.
Well, that's what I always say we do. I compare to that all the time, that at least within the scenes, we do them like theater. And I think one of the keys of our show for performance, too, is that everybody's always on camera. There's no one ever standing beside a camera throwing a line. Everyone is actually on film all the time, so everyone has to be in the game. And I think it makes a big difference.
A friend of mine's in trouble. I needed to pick her up in a hurry. This is the only way I can get to her quick enough.
You do an amazing amount of helicopter work on this show.
Yeah.
But we have two fantastic pilots. Well,
24 hours, Los Angeles traffic.
That's the only way.
It'd be a really boring show.
It's funny. I don't know. Did we do that much in the first year? I guess you did. Yeah. It was pretty established.
In the first year, I got a script. Said I got from the valley to the downtown area in like 20 minutes. I remember having a conversation with Bob and Joel saying, you know, if you're going to do the real-time thing, you got to stick to it and you got to be straight with it. And they were laughing. And I said, you know, you can never drive that fast from one area to another. And as I was saying it, the helicopter we were going to shoot with
started
flying over the over the buildings. And they said, there's your ride.
Oh, great. Oh, so then it was established right in the first year. Yeah.
What?
It was established right in the first year then. Because that is one of the main reasons we use it. We just need to move people around so quickly. And we do have our fair share of people driving around in cars, but I think sometimes even just for variety, we need to get the helicopters. But we have the Tempuro boys, and they're incredibly good at what they do and very safe, and I trust them with your lives, obviously, sometimes, because you get in them and everyone around them.
Come on, get in the helicopter. We got to go. Derek, get back in!
This was tough, too, trying to make this work and utilizing the real time of the helicopter having
to
start up.
How long it takes to warm up. And
I thought that was really kind of a nice action beat and watching these guys coming.
Jack?
What?
It's them. How did they find me?
I don't think they ever lost you.
And this was a complete reshoot. We changed the actor.
Three times.
Three times. Probably the hardest thing we had to deal with, I think, in the first episode.
And almost the whole year.
Yeah, it's true. It was tough.
And this was all because the gentleman hurt his leg.
Yeah, his leg and everything twisted from there. And then we got an actor who, great guy, but unfortunately was sight unseen by both of us and didn't really work out the day we were there.
Well, he just physically wasn't right.
That's right.
He was too young. As an actor, he was perfect.
Yeah, he was just too young.
But he just physically was too young. Yeah. And it just...
Too OC for us. And that's a key for us. We want those, especially when you're dealing with, you know, bad guys and agents, and they need to really have some weight to them. And so anytime you see this gentleman with the glasses, those were all reshoots done completely, I think about a month and a half later.
Certainly it was at least, about 6 weeks.
But as you see, they mix in really well. We've become very good at virtually surgically putting new shots and new scenes in. And then this guy gave us the weight we needed.
No, and he was a
wonderful
great.
Actor. Then here's my poor guy, still at this point, a month later, had a cast on. Remember?
Yeah.
Couldn't even walk. But he came out. He was a real trooper. And as much as I think this location looks unbelievably good on film, I hated having to go back there the times we did.
Well...
The one time would have been great.
It started off with a half an hour speech on safety that was just as boring as watching paint dry, and kind of got worse from there. This, I like this stunt, how it ended up.
I love this too.
This wasn't what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it just stopped like it should.
It was just wonderful.
And it was supposed to do a ramp and a roll. And I love that it didn't get stunty. It looked just really painful and real. And
I remember you and I were jumping up and down. We were happy about it.
All the stunt guys were
all upset. The stunt guys were all sad.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, no, it didn't roll over.
It looks so much
real. And we make a real effort on that, too, on this show. We have, and we've never dropped the ball on that, I think, to really make the action different than Hollywood action. No high falls, no ramps. Just really kind of feels gritty and real. That chain beat was really nice, Kiefer. It was your idea. Haven't bumped that chain.
Fucking fire, Chloe!
It was a pretty spectacular location, though.
Oh, it looks great. It just does feel like a million years ago.
It does. Feels like a long time ago.
Walk away now!
This was tough. But again, I think this scene really set the rest of the year for us and for your character.
At the rate you're bleeding out, you're not going to make it in my
unless you get medical attention. You tell me what I want to know, and I will get you to a hospital. You understand me? Do you understand me?
See, this is another scene that I think bookends right to the last one with Henderson.
Right.
You know, it really comes right back to that, to this scene, and puts you in a complete different place than we've seen you before.
The others were just a diversion. Set you up. Make it look like you did it.
Why did they want to kill Palmer?
To keep him from talking. They had to shut him up.
What did he know?
I wasn't given that information. Only hired to take out the principal.
You're the one that killed Palmer.
Yeah.
And that became it right there. That's Tony starting his long rest.
A 9-episode nap.
Who's behind this?
Oh, I got my orders through a close sight. We never use names, you know that. Oh, that's all I know. Take me to a hospital.
And we even changed this ending. It wasn't supposed to end here. Mm-hmm. Remember, we were supposed to... That whole scene from the second episode was supposed to be the end.
And the line we were going to use is he just said, do it. And it was about killing him, and that was going to be the respectful thing to the people that lived like that.
There it is, show number one.